The following programming is sponsored by Carol Captus Holloway. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Monday afternoon. How is everybody after such a crazy weekend? I hope you're doing well. I hope you're not feeling like me, like I need to go into therapy or something so I don't go into depression, laughing out loud. You are listening to Tell Me More with Carol Holloway. We are live right here at the WWDB studios at 860 AM. Our podcast is up and running right now live. And later on tonight, you'll be able to listen to it again. Or if you've missed anything, we are on Odyssey. And you can always text message me or I am me at Instagram and Facebook. So thank you for listening today. I was going to do a very political show today. And I was really going to break down the Project 2025 for people who don't know what it is. But given the weekend circumstances, the attempted assassination of former President Trump, and then the rulings that came through today completely dismissing the Mar-a-Lago documents case, which we know happened, I just felt like maybe it wasn't the right time to do this particular topic for today. So next week on our show, we will be talking about the Project 2025 presidential transition project and what it involves and what is actually in it, who wrote it, and what the idea is behind it. I think it's really important that people know what this policy agenda is, what the database has to say. And the other thing that's really important about it is the fact that they're trying to, and I say if with a grain of salt, if the Republicans get back in house, the Heritage Foundation has written this playbook that they expect to incorporate within the first 180 days in office. So I really think that we as American citizens need to do the right thing, decide whether we want democracy or dictatorship moving forward into the election. But that'll be a topic for another week. So the second half of our show, we are going to talk to Kristen Lipton, who is the managing partner of business development at Gallup. And why am I going to put it in medical minutes? Because the newest Gallup poll conducted an annual study talking about the state of the global workplace that reveals that 20% of the world's workforce is experiencing loneliness daily. I want to add depression to that. So we're going to talk to her and find out a little bit more about what that report had to say. But in the meantime, baby, you can drive my car, right? Kelley Blue Book just put out the best 2024 family cars, and it shares what vehicles, new and used, are fit for the family and how you go about. We all know how to buy a car, right? At least I think we do. But I'm going to give you some tips on when you're buying a car, some things that to look for and some things that can happen at dealerships. And to be really careful when you are buying a car, because think of all the fires and the floods, particularly floods. So I can't wait to ask our upcoming guest to discuss this. So coming online is the executive editor of Kelley Blue Book, Brian Moody, who is delivering this very timely, straightforward, unbiased automotive information insight to you, our shoppers and our listeners who might be in the industry to get a newer used car. And we know it hasn't been a particularly comfortable market right now. Used car prices have really been through the roof. I want to ask Brian about that. And I want to know what's going on with the new cars and the microchips. Are they back in stock? What's going on there? But Brian has an extensive automotive journalist career for 20 years reporting for both local and national radio, television, print, and other media online outlets, because he has been the executive editor at Kelley Blue Book. And Moody has also appeared on air as an automotive expert on such shows as Good Morning America, NBC, Nightly News, CNBC, Last Call, Cheddar News, KTLA, and so many more. And he does have a degree in radio and television from the California State University at Long Beach. But I think it's really important, you know, families come in all sizes these days. I mean, a family can consist of, you know, grandmom and grandpop taking care of the grandkids. It could be, you know, a regular family as we know it, a traditional family or an untraditional family with two moms or two dads and one or two kids. It could be, you know, just caregivers. You don't, it's so different than, you know, what we always thought of growing up, you know, watching like, you know, Ron Howard and Opie and, you know, things like that. So it's a different atmosphere now, and AI technology is coming into play with our cars these days. So knowing what we can do as buyers and listeners, you know, trying to prioritize what's important to us, like safety, reliability, the value of your car, will it hold its value? There's so many choices to choose from, and which ones are best equipped to handle, you know, like our precious cargo, our kids, our family, our spouses. So Brian is joining us in just a couple minutes here to share helpful car shopping tips and features and things that we want to look for, and talking about what are some of the most functional vehicles that are out there on the market, best dollar value. So I'm excited that he is able to spend a little bit of time with us and break this down, because guess what? I'm going to let Brian know I have some experience in the car industry. So let's bring him on board and see how he is doing. Hi, Brian. Welcome to Tell Me More.
Hey, hello. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Having sold cars for 10 years, I know all about Kelley Blue Book, but a lot of our listeners don't. So I'm glad that you are here to help us. You actually write the book?
No, this is the Kelley Blue Book has different functions. The pricing is statisticians, as you would expect. There's also an editorial function. There's content that's online, and you can read articles and videos and all that kind of stuff. So those are two separate functions, although they work together and they use each other. So the person who reviews a new car is not the same person who calculates the values.
So what exactly does the executive editor do?
Well, of any publication, it's like making sure that the facts are correct, that you have stories that are compelling for consumers, that you're providing accurate and timely information, that you're providing unbiased information, that none of the advertising influences the things that you recommend or don't recommend, those types of things.
Okay, great. So with your vast knowledge, can you help share tips for a lot of our listeners, whether they're shopping for a car online or at a dealership?
Yes, there's lots of things to keep in mind. Today, one of the big advantages is that you can do a lot of your research, and honestly, you can do a lot of the process online or from the comfort of your own home. Now, that only goes so far because pictures are different. Looking at pictures online is different than seeing something in person. I'm sure you've had this experience as well, where you look at something online and you think, oh, that's ugly. I would never want that. And then in person, when you see the proper dimensions and context, like, oh, that's actually quite attractive. And mm-hmm. The same with scale, seats. You want to know the seat size, the seat comfort. You can't know how the radio sounds, road noise, how the steering feels, all of those things at some point. No matter how much you do online, you're still going to want to go for a test drive.
And I agree with you. I feel like you really have to feel the car under you. I think unless you buy the same car all the time.
Yes.
You really need to go to a dealership or a seller to actually see and smell the car.
Right. And with a used car, smell can be a big one. I agree with you. If you're the kind of person that just says, you know what, every 6 years I get a new Toyota Corolla, then that they're probably fine. You, I don't think you need to do a lot. But I will say this, technology has changed, and we know that the average car on the road today is about 12 and a half years old. And so sometimes to technology, you may have options with technology that you do or do not want because you feel like it's intrusive. I just drove a car yesterday that had a 14-inch touchscreen. I felt like it was too big, and I would have personally opted for the lesser model so that I could get a smaller screen.
Wow, that makes sense. I agree with you because the screens are kind of out of control right now in a lot of cars. When it comes to buying a car, whether it's new or used, I mean, even in flood zones, new cars can get flooded. How do we know whether our, because we're being inundated with floods right now, how do we know whether the car we're looking at, whether new or used, has been in a flood zone?
You really don't. And that's the scary thing about it, because unlike other types of damage, if a tree falls on a car, it's obvious. If it was on fire, it's obvious. If it was in an accident, there are signs. There are signs with a flooded car too, but the tough thing is that it remains largely intact. So here's a couple of things to look for that might lead you to suspect a car has been flood damaged. First, if you go look at the car and the windows are already all down, that's a sign. If the windows are all put up and it sits there and it gets foggy on the inside, the moisture is coming from somewhere. That's the first thing. Second thing is lots of problems with the electronics. Radio doesn't work. Oh, the air conditioner just needs to be charged up. That's one of those lies they tell. It doesn't just need to be charged up. It has a leak. So the other thing is if you pull the floor mats back, maybe even you pull back a portion of the carpeting, it's easy to put right back in place and stick your hand back there and see if there's any moisture. Look underneath the car and see if you can see things like sand or grass that looks like it was, you know, draped over the exhaust pipe or the anything like that. There's also vehicle history reports, and they will catch most of those things if there was an insurance claim. The tough part about vehicle history reports is they don't catch everything. So, for example, if I had a car in my driveway and it got flooded and I decided I was going to repair it myself and then sell it, that would not be caught on a vehicle history report like Carfax.
Wow. Wow. Because we do rely on Carfax, and we do rely on information from Kelley Blue Book and so many other pairs of car information that is out there. So what have you seen going on in the industry? I mean, it's been a tough industry lately. Used car prices are through the roof. Go ahead.
I was going to say that one of the problems is that in the past, and you probably know this, is that there was a shortage of cars.
Yes.
And whenever there's a shortage of cars, that's going to drive the prices up. Today, there's a relative abundance of both new and used cars across the country. Sometimes when you look at average prices, it can be misleading. So go seek out the cars that you want and look at for sedans, for example. New car prices tend to be high because they lump all of them in. Well, right now we're at a nearly a record high for the percentage of people that are opting for a luxury car when buying a new car. Well, that skews the result. You can still go buy a Nissan Versa for about $25,000. That's still a thing that you can do. I don't think that people realize that not every car is more expensive, but some cars are. And the more equipment the government requires, that's going to raise the price of the car too. So we can't have everything. Electric cars tend to be expensive. That raises the overall average too. But if you go looking for something very specific and narrow it down by doing research, you'll find something that's good, and you can usually find something that has plenty of safety features. And to avoid the flood damage thing you mentioned before, I would always take it to a qualified mechanic for a pre-purchase inspection.
Right. I agree with that. Even if you have to tell the dealership that you're taking it out for a test drive, although sometimes they want to come with you.
Yes. Well, just tell them they can come, but they have to be quiet.
Okay. That works. If a window sticker lists equipment, that equipment should be on that vehicle, correct? I've recently had a salesperson tell me, oh, well, it doesn't come with the car. I'm like, but it's on the window sticker.
Here's what's hard about that. Are you talking about a new car?
Yeah, we're talking about a new car.
So yes, that generally should be the rule. However, there are some cars, and they may still be around, that during the microchip shortage, I'm making this up as an example. A full-size pickup that's the you know, RT model is supposed to have cooled seats and automatic stop-start. Well, in order to get those cars out the door, that particular truck you're looking at may have had a deleted cooled seats or a deleted automatic stop-start. And when it was sold new, they gave that customer, the new car buyer, a $100 discount or a $500 discount because saying, hey, listen, the truck is as it is, but there's a microchip shortage. Rather than have no cars, we're going to have these that are missing certain features, but we're going to disclose that to you. How that works in the used car market, that's tough. There's going to be some cars out there that absolutely do not have the features that a certain car of that make, model, and trim should have.
Okay, that answers a good question. So what are some of the most important features that we should be considering when we're buying a new car, a new family car, let's say?
You want to decide if you want a two-row or a three-row. That's usually the big decision. How big of a car that you need is another one. So three rows would be like, you know, a minivan, the Toyota Sienna, for example, the Honda Pilot, those types of things. Those are midsize. If you need something really big, like a Ford Expedition or a Chevy Suburban, those are also family cars, but they're very large. So you have to consider, like, you know, how much are you spending? How big of a car do you really need? And then you can go from there. What features do you want? Like, some people absolutely hate the idea of having video screens in the back seats. They think, I'm trying to get my kids away from the TV, not more, on a family road trip. Others say, you know what, it makes them not fight. So they watch a movie, they watch Peter Pan on the way up to the cabin. Great, no harm done. So you have to decide that kind of stuff ahead of time.
Ryan, what are you seeing in EVs, electric vehicles these days? Are you seeing more of a demand? Is it kind of a slow process? And what do people need to know?
The demand has been slowing. So I just want to make sure that I'm saying it properly, because slowing demand is not the same thing as saying no demand. It's just saying that the demand is still there. It's just not as rapid as people would have thought. And the reason for that is because it's a new thing, right? New technology. There's those certain people that are in line to get the newest iPhone on day one. Well, those people, those early adopters, they pretty much have the electric car they want. Now, the rest of us who have to live with these things and don't have, you know, maybe the freedom to just purchase electric cars because it's fun, now we have to make them work for our everyday life. And we have to look at, you know, silly things like, where do I charge it up? Is there another option that's less expensive? Remember, electric cars, the energy that cars use, it has to be cost effective also. It can't just be we look at only the positives or only the negatives and then we discount everything else. Just like if you're taking medication, you would say, okay, I can live with the side effects, but the overall result is going to help me. So electric cars are tending to drop in price because of the slightly less demand. For people who live in a single family home and they have a way to charge up on their own property, it's the best of all possible worlds. Those people are going to love the experience. For those that have to charge up using a public charger, it's probably not as good of an experience because sometimes the chargers can malfunction, and also it can take longer than you would. You know, 40 minutes does not sound like a long time to charge up until you have toddlers. And then all of a sudden, it's quite a long time, especially when you're away from home.
So, Brian, do people have to put charging stations in their house, or can't you just plug into the wall?
You don't have to do that. Yes, you can just plug it into the wall. And if you had a car like a Nissan Ariya is a good example, and you left it charged up just to the wall all overnight, you would add a significant amount of range. And you could probably do that, you know, for quite some time. The thing that charging stations do that you install inside your home is it just makes it faster. And that's what I think people have kind of gotten wrong. It's not range anxiety. If you buy an electric car that says it can go 300 miles, it's going to go that far. Mm-hmm. The issue isn't how far it goes. The issue is how long is it going to take for me to recoup all of that energy that I just spent? We know that at a gas station, it's going to be about 5 minutes. At a charging station, it's going to be much longer.
With that being said, which vehicles have topped this year's best family car list?
Well, you know how we mentioned two-row and three-row? Here's a couple of two-rows that we think are the best. The Honda CR-V, the Hyundai Ioniq 5, which, by the way, is fully electric. It's kind of that retro-looking hatchback type thing I think is cool. Mm-hmm. And also the Subaru Outback. Those are good for two-row SUVs. For three-row SUVs, not surprisingly, there's quite a few Hondas and Toyotas. The Honda Pilot, the Toyota Sienna, the Toyota Highlander, the Ford Expedition. That's a big one. So if you want a big one, we think the Ford Expedition is the best of that full-size truck-based big family SUV. Plus, you want a tow on top of that. You know, great. Honda Odyssey, of course, that's great. My favorite on the list is the Kia Telluride. Both the Kia Sorento and the Kia Telluride are good, mid-sized SUVs. There's something about the Telluride, the look, the feel, the interior materials, and the way it drives that is so rewarding, it makes everything else feel like it's engineered to a lower standard. I just think it's a great car, and it's not that expensive. A base model Kia Telluride is about $38,000, similar to a Honda Pilot, which is about $38,500. Be prepared if you're shopping for a new minivan, by the way. If you want leather seats and a sunroof, you're going to probably be over the $40,000 mark. Just beware of that. So if you want less than that, go get a used one.
It's amazing how the prices of cars have increased so dramatically. I mean, we just had sticker shock when we went and bought something that was pre-owned. Having been in the business, I'm like, come on, you know, go into Kelley Blue Book and look up the price of this car. It's over what the value actually is. And he's like, oh, it's the demand. You can't get Ford trucks.
it's true. Now, this is the thing that, like, if you really want a deal, go look for something that's off the beaten path. If you bought a used Toyota Corolla, it's not going to be as high a price as like a brand new full size SUV. And you can even get new cars for a relatively low price. One more thing to keep in mind, though, is that some cars, if you haven't bought a car in a long time, some cars are now hybrid, and that's the only way they come. A perfect example is the Toyota Sienna. You buy a new Toyota Sienna, it comes one way, and that's as a hybrid. I think that's a good thing, but some people might not like the way that it drives.
Wow. A lot of information here. If we go on to Kelley Blue Book, I mean, there's so many sources out there, Kelley Blue Book being one of the ones that we're most familiar with. And we start to do the value of, say, the car that we're looking to buy or the car that we're going to sell. How accurate is that?
It's fairly accurate. There's a couple things to consider, though. The condition of the car, the location of the car, the time of year, and also the color. So when you go to value your own car on Kelley Blue Book, it does ask you the color. Certain colors make the car worth more. Certain colors make the car worth less. For example, like orange and brown, those cars, even if you had an identical car and the identical car was white, the orange or brown one is worth less. That's just how it is. Also, buying a convertible in December in Minnesota may lower the value of the car versus buying a convertible in May in San Diego.
So those
things are all things worth considering. The condition of the car is the most important, and sometimes people tend to, they sort of think their car is nicer than what it really is.
Of course we do, and I think that's part of the input on the owner side.
Yes.
For a car that you have to be fair, like if it has a dent in it, it has a dent in it.
Yes.
It's not in great condition.
Yes.
And do you feel that all these different sources out there, because we have Kelley Blue Book, which I believe is owned by Auto Trader of all places. Am I right?
Yes, that's true. Cox Automotive is a larger company that owns Kelley Blue Book, Auto Trader, and some other automotive properties.
You guys compete against each other.
Well, in a way, think of it like Chevrolet and Cadillac.
Okay.
Are they competing against each other? Yeah, they kind of are. But in the end, you hope that gives you a better product.
Exactly. Okay. What about dealerships? Now, here's, I'm throwing you a curveball. What about dealerships that are still using the Kelley Black Book? Is that from your company as well?
Black Book is a separate company for valuations.
Right. And I find that dealers use that, and they're because the pricing is so much lower. Is that more of auction pricing?
A lot of times these services do have wholesale and retail prices. So wholesale is what you would pay if you're in the business of selling cars. Retail is what you would pay if you're a consumer going to purchase a car. That's often a differentiator. Whether or not the accuracy of the wholesale price, I don't really know, because that's each individual dealer has to decide for themselves. You know, is there a demand for this car in my market? Like, for example, a Subaru in the Northeast is almost always going to be worth buying no matter what the wholesale price is, because they know they can sell it.
Right. Good cars, by the way. So for our listeners out there, would you suggest they have a trade, they're getting another car. Do you suggest that they do the homework on their trade when they're going to trade it into a dealership, as well as the new the car they're going to buy, and be willing to negotiate and walk away?
Yes. So here's what I tell people. Don't kid yourself about your trade-in. It's not a Ferrari. It's just some Toyota with 100,000 miles on it. Like, that's all it is. Let's be honest about that. But the truth is, you're probably going to get more for it by selling it yourself. That's almost always the case. But keep this in mind. Is that extra money you're going to get worth the work that you're going to have to put in? You're going to have to detail it. You're going to have to make sure that it's safe. You're going to have to field phone calls and emails. Is that how you want to spend your time? Like, for me, if I was going to get an extra $3,000, $4,000, I would do the work. If it was going to be $500 to $1,000, my time is worth more than that. I don't have time to mess around with that. And there's always the people, you've seen this, I'm sure, on places like Facebook Marketplace and stuff, where they don't bother to do any of those things. They just take a picture of the car with all the trash in the front seat and their air freshener hanging in the rearview mirror, and they're like, good luck to you. Well, that's not what we're talking about. That person's not going to get top dollar for the car. They're going to get a bunch of lowballers, and they're going to get, you know, their time wasted. But if you really want to sell your car yourself, you're probably going to get a little bit more money for it than if you were to trade it in. Not always, but often. You just have to decide if it's worth the effort to you, because it's going to be effort.
Yes, a lot of effort. And then making sure that that person is financially sound with the money that they're going to give you. Whereas with the dealership, you have right. that safety bucket. Plus, with the dealership, you get the tax break. So if they're giving you a couple $1,000 for your car, that comes off the price of the new car. So you save some money. Yep.
And where are you going to meet them? And how do you show it to them? There's all this stuff. The thing about dealers that I don't think people understand is, because they're in the business of selling cars, like, that's their business, there's laws regulating that. Mm-hmm. There's laws that are in place to protect you as the consumer. And in addition, let's just take a franchise dealership that sells new Chevrolets or Hondas or Toyotas or whatever it is. They can't risk their reputation in the community simply so they can make an extra $75 off of you. It just doesn't make sense. So there's a good reason why you might want to go to a dealership, but you can also get good cars and good deals from private sellers as well, as long as you do your homework.
Good information, Brian. Where can our listeners go for more information?
For more information, you can go to kbb.com. And if you go specifically to kbb.com/awards, you'll see a lot of our most highly regarded and most awarded vehicles, which should be helpful when shopping for new and used cars.
Awesome. That's really helpful information. Well, we're going to continue to discuss. I thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to tell us more about car shopping and Kelley Blue Book. Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you.
Certainly a great interview with Brian. I was delighted to have him on the show. I want to take a quick commercial break here. You're listening to Tell Me More with Carol Holloway. And then I want to give you a couple things that you can negotiate when you're going to buy a new car. We'll be right back. Our house.
Hi, this is Carol Holloway from Home Improvement Fix and Facts. Listen to me live every Tuesday morning from 8 to 9 right here at WWDB. And if you can't listen live, make sure you go to WWDBAM.com and listen to my podcast. Each week, we will give you great ideas on how to fix your home and some facts on how to put it all together. In the middle of our streets,
our house. Hey, Philadelphia homeowners. To build for looks and durability, side your home with LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding, now available in brushed smooth texture. Available in 16 versatile colors, LP SmartSide Expert Finish products will help you create a gorgeous, longer-lasting dream home. That's the beauty of brushed smooth. Learn more about LP SmartSide Expert Finish products in brushed smooth texture at lpcorp.com/philly-siding. That's lpcorp.com/philly-siding.
Hello, this is Erin, and I have a very important message. If you or a loved one is suffering with any sort of crisis, there is no need to do it alone. Dial the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline, where trained professionals will handle your case and get you the help you need any day, anytime. All reports are fully confidential. Dial 988, and a responder will do everything they can to assist you. Remember, if you see something, say something. You may just be saving someone's life. Remember, 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline.
Drive my car. Yes, I
are listening to Tell Me More with Carol Holloway. We just had a great discussion with Brian Moody from Kelley Blue Book talking about cars. And I want to share a little bit of information with you. I sold cars for 10 years, quite some time ago, before so much of the electric vehicles and everything were coming into play. But I want to let you know, listeners, that you ought, be prepared to walk out of a dealership. Be prepared to say, not taking the deal, I'm leaving. The last thing they want to see you do is walk out the door. So before you go to a dealership, and I'm saying a dealership because that is a great place to buy a car. As Brian said, private sellers are also great. Just be prepared with the private sellers. Make sure the vehicle is what it says. Run your own Carfax. Ask the person that you're selling the car to for the VIN number so you can do that. You can do all of that right online through several different sources. But when you are going to buy a car, there's three things that are always negotiable. And one of the first things that I'd like to recommend to people is make sure you know your credit. Make sure you know your credit score. Make sure you know what your buying ability is. And make sure you know what your current bank, whether it's a bank or a credit union, is offering you in car buying options to buy a car through them. Or finance the car through them, I should say. Once you know that and you know your credit score, when you go to a car dealership, remember that the finance rate is negotiable. Just because they come back and say, oh, well, I can get you a 7% rate, well, your credit union might be able to do something much lower than that. And make sure you tell them, well, my credit union can do this or my bank can do that. And let them wiggle and try to get you down to the best rate. Tell them I know what my score is and tell them, you know what, I can go get my money somewhere else. They want to keep the money in-house. The reason why car dealerships want you to go through their financing is because they get, I'm using air quotes right now, what I call kickbacks. They get points, percentages on the money they borrow. So they might be borrowing money at 5% and offering it to you at 7%, which makes they're getting 2% of that financing kicked back to the dealership. But if you know your credit rating is really good and can get them down to 6% or 5.5%, or be willing to walk away because you know you have good credit and can get a better rate, I guarantee you that finance manager is going to lower the rate. And if they tell you they can't do it, and you've already talked to your bank, you know what you can get approved for. Go in and talk to your bank. Go in and talk to your credit union before you even buy a car and say, hey, listen, they'll do a soft pull on you, a soft credit report pull, which doesn't affect your credit, and be able to tell you what rate they can get you at. Or if you know that a certain bank is doing a good rate or something like that. So know your facts before you go in because you can negotiate and bargain. Also keep in mind with the finance rate, when you go to a car dealership and the salesperson says to you, well, where do you want your payments to be? Do not answer that question. Say, why don't we just negotiate the price of the car and my interest rate? The reason why is they will get you to your payment if you say, well, I only want a payment of $500 or $400 a month. Let's just use something very practical. $400 a month. Well, that dealership is going to stretch out your term. You might have gone in there thinking, well, I only want to finance for 3 or 4 years. The dealership is going to say, well, where do you want your payment to be? And you're there saying, well, I want $400 a month. Well, guess what? They're going to come back and show you a payment of $459, but it's going to be over 72 or 84 months. So do not tell them where you want your payment to be until you've negotiated the price of the car that you are buying. Speaking of the price of the car that you are buying, go to the dealership website or the manufacturer's website and find out if you're going to a Ford or a Chevy or a GMC dealer, say you're interested in a truck. Go to the manufacturer's website and see what kind of rebates they are offering versus interest rates, because sometimes a lot of these places will do 0% interest for 36 months or 0% interest for you still pay the loan, you just don't pay interest on the loan, or you pay a very low rate, or there might be rebates. You might be a vet and get a rebate. You might be a college grad and get a rebate. You might work in a certain particular industry and get a rebate. So keep in mind that you need to know all these things before you walk into a dealership, as far as the financing rates and what money is available to you. And that comes into the cost of the car. Knowing what rebates are available to you on the cost of the car, knowing what the sticker price is versus what the dealership has, so many markups in their cars. There's advertising fees and transportation fees and financing fees because it sat on the lot, et cetera, et cetera. And right now, a lot of dealerships are playing hardball with both new and used cars. So if you love the car and they're not playing, be willing to get up and walk away. And just as you're walking out the door, just say to them, you know what, when you can get in my ball game or you can get to my price, give me a call. I'm going to go shop, and be willing to walk out the door. And one of the questions you'll hear dealerships say to you a lot, well, aside from color, do you really like the car? Is this the car you want to own? So keep that in mind. It's just a tactic, because their goal, if you get excited when you're at a dealership about a particular vehicle, I always say keep your emotions in check, because the more excited you get about the vehicle that you're looking at, the more they think they have you by the hook. And they're going to tell you, oh, there's no other car out there like this. Nobody else has one. You know, I'd have to drive to Florida to get you a car just like this. So keep those things in mind as well. The other place where they can get you, so besides the finance rate, the cost of the car is your trade-in. And this is where Kelley Blue Book, Carfax, Auto Trader, all these different places come into play. Be smart about your car. Run your car. Put the VIN number in, because you can do that now. You can just put the VIN number in. Be fair about the condition of your car and get an idea of what your car is worth at fair market value, whether it's a trade-in, whether you're selling it on the street, or whether the dealership is just buying it outright. Whatever that is, you need to be informed about what the actual price is of your car that you can get for trade-in, because they're going to try to lowball you. I see it all the time. You know, this car was owned by a little old lady who only drove it once a week to the market. So you're going to hear all the stories. You got to be smart when you're a consumer. And I say this, you know, very tongue in cheek, but very realistically, that as we get older, I feel that we're taken advantage of. And as we're young, buying our first cars, as we're graduating and starting to drive, we get taken advantage of. It's people that understand what goes on behind the scenes that can negotiate the best deal. And don't be afraid to negotiate the deal. And if your husband or your wife is that person who gets super excitable, leave them home for the negotiations. Go look at the car and then say, I'll be back. And then go research that car and go see what its trade-in value is if you decide to sell the car 3 years down the road. So the cost of your trade-in is a huge factor. But like Brian said to us, be very, very careful about the particular cost of the car, your car that you're trading in. And keep in mind, as I discussed with Brian, when you trade in the vehicle, your trade-in comes off the list price, the negotiated list price of the car you're buying. So that's deducted, and then you pay the tax. You don't pay tax on the new car off the top. So that's why it's important. If you're saving, you know, $3,000, trading it in $4,000, $5,000, $10,000, whatever your trade-in is, you get that tax break as well. Keep in mind, warranties is another area that dealerships are going to try to get you to take a warranty. Warranties, I believe nowadays with all the AI that's in cars, this artificial intelligence to park your car for you, and the rear lights and all the electronics that are in there, you know, the real rear backup cameras and all this other stuff. It's expensive to repair, but warranties are negotiable. If you don't have a great relationship with your car salesperson, or you don't feel good, be willing to walk away from the warranty and price it yourself. And they'll say, oh, you can only do this if you buy the car today. This price is only good if you buy the car today. I know when I sold cars, I know it's a different market. It's been a while since I sold cars, but there was such a huge 50% markup in car warranties. So be willing to negotiate that too. And if push comes to shove and you're comfortable on everything else, say, you know what, I don't need your warranty, or ask them if they'll honor the warranty price for a week while you think about it and see what the finances are. Because remember, if you don't pay for the warranty outright and pay for it up front, you're going to be paying interest on that warranty. So keep all those things in mind. I think it's important information for everybody to know. So with that being said, on our car segment, I want to take another commercial break and come back to our medical minutes talking about the Gallup poll and what is going on with the workplace and what is making us sad and making us feel lonely and what's causing depression. So we're going to be talking about Gallup's latest State of the Global Workplace. And like I said at the top of the hour, the report reveals that 20% of the world's workforce is experiencing loneliness daily at work. Social isolation and chronic loneliness have had a devastating effect on both our physical and mental health, and it can affect our work and our productivity. So when we come back from our commercial break, Kristen Lipton will be joining us. You're listening to Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, and we will be right back.
Hello, this is Erin, and I have a very important message. If you or a loved one is suffering with any sort of crisis, there is no need to do it alone. Dial the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline, where trained professionals will handle your case and get you the help you need any day, anytime. All reports are fully confidential. Dial 988, and a responder will do everything they can to assist you. Remember, if you see something, say something. You may just be saving someone's life. Remember, 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline.
Hey, Philadelphia homeowners, to build for looks and durability, side your home with LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding, now available in brushed smooth texture. Available in 16 versatile colors, LP SmartSide Expert Finish products will help you create a gorgeous, longer-lasting dream home. That's the beauty of brushed smooth. Learn more about LP SmartSide Expert Finish products in brushed smooth texture at lpcorp.com/Philly Siding. That's lpcorp.com/Philly Siding.
Hi, this is Carol Holloway from Home Improvement Fix and Facts. Listen to me live every Tuesday morning from 8 to 9 right here at WWDB. And if you can't listen live, make sure you go to WWDBAM.com and listen to my podcast. Each week, we will give you great ideas on how to fix your home and some facts on how to put it all together. In the middle of our streets, our house.
And we are back. We are getting into our medical minutes in the second half of our show, and we are talking about the loneliness and the depression that we're suffering in the workplace. In 2023, global employee engagement stagnated and the overall employee well-being declined. While both measures are at or near record highs, their lack of improvement is very notable in the workplace as they follow multiple years of steady gains. The result is that a majority of the world's employees continue to struggle at work in life with direct consequences for organizational productivity. And that is so true. If you're not happy at work, and come on, let's face it, we spend half of our life at our job. We really do. Half of our adult years of our hours are spent at our work. So with that being said, I really wanted to share the latest Gallup poll about the state of the global workplace. And coming on board to join us is Kristen Lipton, who is the managing partner of business development at Gallup. Kristen manages a growing sales team that provides learning and development programs and consulting services worldwide for companies seeking to improve business performance through employee engagement, strength-based development, management, and leadership. And she brings Gallup's mission to life through this work, leveraging analytics, advice, and education to help leaders and organizations solve their most pressing problems by developing a deeper understanding of the attitudes and behaviors of employees, customers, and citizens. Kristen brings us a wealth of sales and management expertise And before joining Gallup, she served as a trusted advisor to the largest consumer packaged good companies, where she crafted consumer promotions and advertising campaigns. I know it sounds so funny. Why would I have this segment in our medical minutes? Well, the fact that we're all feeling so lonely and depression is seeping in, and especially in a political year, makes it really difficult. I thought it would be really important to have a talk and put it in the medical minutes so we know what to look for and where to go. And I'll tell you, there's some really crappy employers out there that probably won't even read this report or figure out what they can do to help their employees be them their best self at the job. Not everybody's like that, but there's a lot of really bad ones out there. So I do hope that they're listening. So let's bring Kristen on board now, and she should be on the line. Let's check.
Oh, hi, Kristen. Welcome to Tell Me More with Carol Holloway. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I can hear you loud and clear. Am I coming through okay?
You are coming through great. It's always those little technical difficulties when you're trying to do things live here at the studio. I understand that there was a huge global workplace Gallup poll that reveals 20% of our world's workforce is experiencing loneliness on a regular basis. Could you tell me about that? That makes me sad just to read it.
I know. It certainly does for me, too. And, you know, at Gallup, we're committed to helping the voices of global employees be heard. And to your point, this loneliness is a concern. And we discovered that because we examine how employees feel about their work and life by quantifying that employee experience. And so what we did is we leveraged the Gallup World Poll to go to 160 countries and it can look back at 20 years of data so that we can understand that this loneliness in the context of 2023 is indeed a problem, because we see that it's higher if you're younger, it's higher if you're working exclusively remote. But our hope is that leaders take insights like this data on loneliness, go right back to their organizations to make positive change and help us fix the world's broken workplaces.
I mean, social isolation definitely affected us during COVID, and the loneliness, the mental health, the physical health was really tough. But even going back into the workplace, people feel so disengaged from each other. So what are some of the factors that are driving all these different changes?
Oh, certainly. You know, we're living in a time of just disruption. We can all relate to that. The landscape of work is changing. You mentioned physically, some of us are remote, some of us are working hybrid, some of us are, you know, on site, and technology, AI is coming at us at a dizzying pace. We have a younger generation in the workforce. There's societal, cultural shifts. All of this is making it just harder to be a people manager. And we would expect that managers would have higher engagement than their teams. And in fact, they do. But of concern is that the managers are experiencing more daily negative emotions. They're more stressed. They have more anger. They're sad. They're more lonely. And they're even more likely to leave an organization altogether. That's cause for concern, because managers are your lifeline for those teams. They set the tone and the culture. And so what we know is that if managers are struggling, certainly their teams are as well.
So what can our managers, the organizational leaders and owners of companies do to fix these issues? Because sometimes I feel that they're not even aware. They might be feeling it themselves, but they don't realize it passes down to their employees.
You're right. You're exactly right. You know, and so often the conversation goes to, well, where should we work? That will fix it. And in fact, you know, we talked about managers as part of our concern, but indeed great managers are the solution. So, you know, 70% of the variance of team engagement, we can attribute right at that local manager. What we know is that the best run organizations in the world, they show us what's possible. 75% of their managers are engaged, and as a result, 70% of their workforce is engaged. And you ask, you know, what can we do? Well, the best managers have one core habit that sets them apart. And it sounds pretty straightforward. And it is. It's a weekly conversation. One meaningful conversation with their team members goes a long way to bridge the physical distance they might be experiencing with their team. That can create some psychological distance as well.
Wow, good tips. Now, I've been on the website Gallup to look at some of the things that they're offering and what they're helping us with. You know, one in five employees worldwide feels lonely. That's really sad. Is this something that can be discussed under mental health, you know, if you have that at your workplace?
It is certainly. I mean, loneliness affects physical health, mental health. It is something that as leaders and managers and as humans, we should be talking about and thinking about how we can, you know, bridge the distance so people don't feel isolated regardless of where they work. In fact, you know, we've been looking at the need for friendship for a really long time. And Gallup knows that even the importance of having not only just a friend, but a best friend at work is critical. So as humans, we need those trusted partners, those people that feel like we're not alone in this. So the more that we can be in conversation, the better physical, mental outcomes, and then even organizational productivity outcomes will follow.
Kristen, a lot of times we do feel alone in the workplace. So if we want to know more about what we can do to pick up our mood, feel like we're part of the group, get rid of that chronic loneliness, where can we go to get more information?
I'd invite you to go directly to our website, which is gallup.com, and there you can download a full copy of our State of the Global Workplace report.
Which is something that I'm going to continue to share with our listeners. I thank you for coming on board and bringing awareness to this really depressing problem. And hopefully, I mean, I hate to say it that way, but it really is because the workplace has changed so much from where it was, you know, 5 years ago. So I thank you for joining us. And one more time, that website?
That's right. So the website is gallup.com. And although I know this sounds sad, I just encourage us to realize that a great job does bring hope for all of us for the future. So there's work to do, but it can be done.
So one of those things might be if you're not loving your job, maybe it's time to look for a new one, right?
look, I'll tell you, ask for what you need. Certainly be in that conversation. Ask for what you need because a great job is out there and a great job is possible.
Awesome. I love that. Ask for what you need. And if it doesn't appear then and you can't make it happen, then it's time to move on. We're certainly going to send people there. Thank you for joining us with the latest state of global wellness in the workplace. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
I just want to let everybody know, too, that an employer cannot fire you because you're having some mental health issues like depression or anxiety or loneliness at work. The ADA, the Americans with Disability Act, protects employees from discrimination based on that disability. So that's important to know. Companies do not have legal grounds to terminate employees or deny them promotions because of mental health conditions. Now, I'm talking about more about the loneliness, the depression, the things that can affect you. And I feel that in the workplace, I know a place where I used to work was very, very political. And you didn't dare talk about your political party if it didn't match their political party. And I think more and more people are going to find this happening in the workplace. And I just said to my husband, like I said at the top of the hour, I think I'm going to need therapy for depression because of what we're dealing with in this highly toxic political environment, which we will discuss next week on our show, talking about Project 2025 and bringing it down for everyone so they understand what's in it. So depression at work can affect your job performance. It can also affect your home life. So some of the symptoms that you want to pay attention to are mood. Are you persistently sad or in a low mood? Do you feel lethargic, low energy, or fatigue at work? Do you have a lack of motivation or boredom at work? Anxiety, increased anxiety, especially when thinking about having to go to work or managing stressful situations. Behavior, if you find yourself lashing out at coworkers or not completing assignments on time or getting to work chronically late or regularly late, these are all signs of depression that can affect you at work. So talk to your employer if you need to. I know at one of my jobs, I literally hated going to the job. I loved my job. I absolutely loved my job. I hated the people that ran the company. They were, you know, just complete asses. And they thought they were know-it-alls. And they really treat people disrespectfully. So if you find yourself in that situation, that's a whole nother thing. And maybe you need to take a week off for some mental health. With that being said, I want to read you my words of wisdom for today. And I did this, these words of wisdom, because like I said, I was originally going to do a political show and decided not to. And because of the attempted assassination on the former President Trump, these are my words. I don't know who said them. Be wary of the theology that says God intervenes to save one person, but not a whole classroom full of people. Think about that, because we're hearing those words, how blessed and how lucky and God did it and all these other things, and that's why he was saved. No, it was happenstance. So next week's political show will be really interesting for everybody to listen to, no matter what side of the fence you're on. I'd hope to bring everybody together. I want to thank you for listening to the show. It'll be up on the podcast later. And don't forget to listen to my show tomorrow morning, Home Improvement Fix and Facts, from 8 to 9, right here at WWDB. Make it a great week and pay it forward. Do something nice for someone. Thanks for listening.